Good evening, everybody. Common Sense American coming at you again for another week. I just wanted to start off by saying that after the London visit by Donald Trump, I imagine there's even more hostility and division floating around in the world. We've seen plenty of examples of Trump hatred, mostly given to you by the mainstream media, because that's what they do. And on the flip side, we've also seen some pro-Trump supporters in Britain sort of standing up for our president and for what they believe is right. And again, you're probably not going to find that on CNN or anywhere, but you can find it on social media. You can find those videos. They do exist. Trump supporters do exist, obviously. He would not have won whatever it was, 39, 40, or 50 states in this union if he wasn't, if he was as hated as everyone says. But this whole thing sort of got me to thinking and reflecting again on the polarization and division that we've seen in this country and really all over the world in the past few years. And, you know, sometimes it makes it difficult to do this podcast. And it makes it difficult sort of to do the work that I do as well, because I do political content and articles, you know, that's distributed on social media and email campaigns and that kind of thing. And it makes it hard because you start to only see the bad. You start to only see, you know, all of that division and hatred and hostility and just plain insanity that you see just start taking over. And, you know, it really has an effect on you. And some of my listeners know I was out of the country for 4 weeks. I spent a month in Ireland, and it was really absolutely essential for me to do for a number of reasons, personal reasons aside. I won't really get into them right now. But one of those reasons, really one of the biggest reasons, is I had to get out of here. I had to see the world from another perspective. I had to just get away. I was still working. Let me clarify. My work allows me to be mobile, so I did still have to work while I was there, or 3 of the 4 weeks. I took 1 week as vacation. But, you know, so that whenever I went outside, wherever I went, I was not faced with it. I was not faced with my country. I was not faced with just the myriad of problems that we have that I see on a daily basis and that I can't help but see that drives me completely insane. And it really helped a lot, because it altered my perspective, you know, for those 4 weeks. It showed me that there was something outside of the insanity and the disgusting environment that we sort of created for ourselves, really toxic in this country. And yes, I am blaming mostly liberals for this. And I'll get into that in a minute. But you see it from a different angle. You know, every day is just, this feels more like a normal day. You get up, you go. I would bike into the nearby town. I even set up a temporary month-long membership at the local gym. I talked to the locals, and were very, very nice. There's a reason that country is known as the land of 1,000 welcomes. And, you know, just sort of be in the moment, live in the present, not, you know, even if you watch the news, they don't have the news that we have. It's very simple. It's like you went back 20, 25 years. It's very straightforward. There's not, you know, insane, massive, you know, shootings and immigration problems, although they're starting to feel a little bit of a push on that. It's just, it really is a whole other world, and it allows you to sort of decompress. And it was very cleansing for me. Being very active and being out and not paying attention to the insanity really helped. And because you could, there you can ignore it. You know, I'm sort of in a rural part. You really can easily ignore the rest of the insanity in the world. And I would highly recommend that sort of thing if you can. But it made me think, you know, what do people do to decompress, to cleanse themselves? What do they do when they see this world sort of pressing them down every week, every day, sometimes every hour? It's just everywhere you look, there's another problem. You just, you know, go on social media, it doesn't really help. In fact, very often it hurts. And you just, you tend to fixate. And it really gets you down. It affects your mood. Sometimes even if you don't notice it, your whole attitude is shifting, which is, you know, causing a lot of this hostility, I think. A lot of the people who are hostile and kind of borderline crazy on both sides of the aisle never used to be. Maybe they had a tendency to go that way, but they didn't used to be this nuts. And this polarization has increased the nuttiness level. And I think it's more and more important to get away from it. So let's assume you can't, you know, just go over to another country for 4 weeks. But what do you do? You know, what do you do to get away from it, to make you feel, you know, as if things are a little more normal, a little more stable, a little more peaceful? You know, everyone has their thing. And sometimes it's not even a hobby. Sometimes it's a very specific routine that they do to just get away from the nuttiness. And you're starting to see it more and more. If you ask people, they really do have something specific that they do to get away from this because it is so prevalent, because it is so pervasive. You know, it's everywhere. Excuse me. It's absolutely everywhere. It's everywhere you look. It's, you can't turn on the TV. You can't go on the internet. You can't do anything without having it shoved in your face. So, you know, some people will say, well, you know, I just go for a walk. Like, I even if it's just around the track at the local high school, I gotta get out, clear my head for an hour or so. Sometimes I walk in the woods. So I'm just, you know, I really would like to know what people do to get away from this. It'd be interesting for me to hear because, you know, I have things that I do, you know, and again, aside from, you know, jumping over to another country, but I also like to, you know, I like to read. I don't read nonfiction, and really a lot because of this. It's an escape. You know, it's a form of escape for me. I read a lot. I read a lot of the classics. You know, I suppose my top favorite authors would probably read like a, you know, an English major's favorite list or something like that, and they find it probably pretty boring. You know, my favorite authors are, you know, Eliot and Tolstoy and Marquez and Mann, and you know, I have a great appreciation for people like Proust and people who are just brilliant. And when you read what they put on a piece of paper, it takes your mind in a million different directions because it's so brilliant. They operate on so many different levels. And sometimes I wonder, where have these people gone? I think we really just bred them out of humanity, but that's another topic. You know, I love to do that kind of thing. I actually, I was, and I still am to some extent, I play video games. I don't get into the whole multiplayer thing. I sort of play by myself, sort of just decompress, very simple. I don't particularly like the, you know, the obscenely violent stuff, the shooters and stuff, but I like to play here and there. It's just a transport. It's a way of getting away. And in that same vein, things like, you know, movies and TVs, I tend to be more active. I want to be active. I exercise every day. I work out every day, except for Saturday and Sunday, but every day during the week, I'm doing something. I'm doing some routine. And that also helps a great deal. And let me tell you, if you don't do it, you're really missing out, and not just on, again, not just the health benefits, you know, that are sometimes essential, you know, essential. Yes, essential. I use that word because we really have to take care of ourselves now more than ever, but I think it's very important. But again, from a mental perspective, it really frees you up. It frees up the mind. You're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on your body. You know, things are moving, things are being active. And when you're done, there's this sort of, it's like a rush of, I don't want to use energy, but it sort of is, you know, movement begets energy. You feel as if you can sort of take on the world and all the ills that face the world, all the problems that you are well aware of they don't disappear, but they fade, you know, they're not as intense. So, I mean, if you don't do it, that's a good reason to do it in addition to the obvious health benefits. I think that's something that we should all do in some ways, because really we are an absolutely disgusting condition. I mean, just it really is tough for me to look at. And I mentioned this in last week's, or the week before last, my podcast about the rant, where I just could not look anymore at the just endless slobs. Not only do they dress poorly, they're in absolutely awful, awful condition, physically and mentally, honestly. And it really is. It's like looking at cattle, and there's just no excuse for it. Absolutely none. I'm not buying any excuse that you don't have time. That's all a lie. That right there is a lie. It's very rare that I've ever come across somebody who says, "Oh, I don't have time." And that is legitimately the case. Most people absolutely have the time, and I'm not talking about hours every day. It doesn't have to be, but yeah, everybody, just about everybody, 99% of everybody in this country does have 20-25 minutes a day. Yes, you do. If you add up the amount of time that you spend sitting, in front of a television, in front of a computer screen, in your car. If you add it all up, trust me, I guarantee you can find 20, 25 minutes to do something, you know, productive with your body. But that's one example. When I do relax, you know, movies and things like that, I haven't gone to the cinema in, I don't know, 10 years or something. I can't. Every once in a while, every once in a great while, I'll see something I might be interested in watching, and then I'll just, you know, I'll wait. It'll show up on Netflix someday, and I'll be like, oh, that's right, I remember that. I should check that out. But the sheer amount of filth and garbage that just comes spewing out of Hollywood at a shocking rate, I can't deal with it. They've gone so far out of control, I can't look at it. And every once in a while, I'll search, you know, movies on Netflix. And I noted this in a podcast some months ago. I don't know why. I think it was the podcast where I wondered where, you know, where all the clean, good-hearted entertainment has gone. And I noted that if you're going on Netflix, for example, and if you're looking at movies made in the past, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, recent ones, even if you go international, which I sometimes have to do to find anything decent, they are just filled with the same propaganda, and it is really jammed in your face. I saw a movie, I had promised that would be good. I probably should have known, you know, it was French. It was a mistake. Every once in a while, I get real lucky. There was a French movie called Blind Date that I thought was really great. But the other one I had mentioned before is Lady J, another excellent film. But then France rises up and shows me its nasty little filthy underbelly every once in a while. And that's what happened with this. I forget that. I think it's called, you know, Who Would You Bring to a Desert Island or something. Desert Island's in there. It's that, they're basing the movie on that classic game, you know, the party game, you know, Who Would You Bring or What Would You Bring to the Desert Island or something. And I kind of thought the premise was kind of interesting. And what was it? It was trash. It was an hour and a half or more. I think it might have been an hour and 40 minutes worth of, and you could just tick it off. I could go right down the list on my fingers of what needed to be in there in order to make it as filthy as possible, which of course in liberal world means as real, quote, real. Real in liberal world translates to trash and garbage, and they think that that is real or should be real. And they're telling us that this is the way humanity is or should live. And I'm really sick of it. But again, you go right down the list. Flat-out nudity, even a scene of masturbation, gay couple, swearing, sex, drug use, alcohol use, and just generally dark, very dark concepts overall. And just deplorable characters. Who gives a... couldn't possibly care less what happened to these people. Just immature, stupid, childish to the... And to, we're supposed to care about their little problems, you know. And it was awful. And this is the kind of thing I have to deal with. This is the kind of thing that this propaganda machine, that just makes it worse. So sometimes I don't want to look for movies because it brings it all back and, you know, makes me go, man, it's gotten bad. You know, this is unbelievable. The only thing I can be guaranteed to be happy about or emerge with a smile on my face is, yeah, you know, if I watch all the movies. You know, I'm a big fan of the golden era of movies and cinema and Hollywood, and there's a reason for that. You know, whatever you want to call me, I don't really care. And I've made it plain that I know that there were a lot of problems in America in those days. I'm not saying things were perfect. I'm not saying we didn't have... There wasn't a big gap in equality between men and women. I'm not saying that there wasn't sexism or racism. I'm not saying any of that. What I'm saying is that the attitudes and how, you know, what we were supposed to value and cherish was correct. Those priorities were correct. That's in a lot of those movies that were just really just good-hearted and clean. And I use Doris Day as an example. She's one of my favorites. She just makes you smile. There's something about it makes you smile. There's nothing offensive there. It makes you smile. It gets you away. It's an escape. They had terrible things happening in those times, too. They had things they wanted to escape from as well. And that's what they used. And, you know, over the years, it's amazing the slippery slope, you know. You look at it. Look at the slippery slope. Back then, there were, you know, I remember watching, I think it was The Big Sleep. I think it's Bogart and Bacall, where the trailer for it, I think they included the trailer for it on the DVD, the old, you know, the original trailer where it said it was like, in big letters, you know, shocking, you know, violence, and, you know, a movie that pushes the sinister envelope of grittiness. And, you know, you watch it now, there is virtually no violence. I mean, it's hugely dialogue intensive, very fast, very layered, very intelligent. Certainly not what we have now. Certainly not what they try and put in movies of that nature. And I think, you know, there's a few gunfights, but they're like, compared to what they are now, that movie could be rated G, PG maybe, but you could even get away with G, I think. That is what has happened. When you give people free rein, and I'm against censorship, I really am, but it makes me think twice when we go down this path and see just how far that slippery slope has taken us. We say, okay, well, we can go, you know, so what if there's, you know, there was a time in Hollywood where people kissed, they couldn't even open their mouths, you know, during the kiss. There was censors everywhere. You couldn't say certain things. And I'm not saying it needs to be like that. I'm not saying it should be. I'm saying if you want to tell certain stories, it really can't be like that. But there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with putting it out there and having a sense of decency and civility and having it put there on the screen as a model to look up to. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, if you look at, and it's amazing how far we've gone. Like Marilyn Monroe is another one of my favorites. I'm a huge fan of hers. I always have been, for a variety of reasons. My degree's in psychology, so her as a human being and everything that she went through is fascinating to me. But in those days, to a lot of people, to a lot of conservatives, she was seen as, you know, dangerous. You know, she's pushing the envelope. She's obviously using her body. She's obviously using sex as, you know, something. But if you watch her movies, go ahead and watch them. Every single one could be rated G, or again, PG. Certainly no more than that. Never naked, never swearing, never overt in her, you know, she never played a disgusting character. Many of the characters were very interesting. And even herself, even outside of that, even, you know, she was religious and she believed in family and she always wanted a family. She always wanted to be a mother. She did not like the idea of divorce. She was crushed over the accusations of how she, you know, messed up the whole Kennedy thing. I mean, she was spiraling with drugs and everything towards the end as well. But what she grew up with, what she believed in, you know, there's a lot of that. That's just, that was normal. She was hugely patriotic. She believed in America. That most everybody did. There was that sense of cohesiveness and togetherness that was there, and pride that came through. And now if you look at, I mean, you know, you look at Marilyn now, if you watch any of her movies, you would think that she's like a nun by today's standards. Seriously. You look at the things that they do on screen today. You look at the things that they say on social media, like the celebrities things, and swear to God, she would come across as a nun. And at that time, she was seen as like the most risque person in Hollywood. This is the slippery slope that I keep talking about, and that always concerns me and always gives me pause over the censorship question. If we can't stop ourselves, if we are incapable of, you know, stopping ourselves on these slopes and saying, you know, we have gone too far. If we don't know where that line is, I don't know. Maybe some form of censorship needs to come back. Just some governing body says, you know what, you've gone way too far. You've gone so disgusting that it's really starting to hurt, you know? Getting back to my original point, those are the kinds of movies that I would watch to decompress. And the books that I read, again, they're fiction. They take me to another time, and very often another place and another time, just to get away from here. The games every once in a while. I like to walk. I like to get outside. But I think it's important that everybody does this. I really do. Don't just sequester yourself in your room with your screens. It's just bad for you mentally and physically anyway. It doesn't matter what you think, what your political or religious beliefs are. It's just bad for you. But it also, in this world where everything is shoved in your face from both sides at all times, a million times a day, it's important to just get away from it, to keep your head, stay sane, and find things that you can do to get away from it all. And I'd be interested to hear what people have to say. What do you do? You know, how do you get away from this? I might actually do a separate podcast where maybe I invite somebody on and ask them and talk to them about how they feel about all this and, you know, what they do to get away from it. Might be fun. I've always thought about doing some interaction with listeners to see what they have to say, rather than just sort of your standard guests. I think it's interesting to have real people on and have them talk. But anyway, that's really just it for today. It's sort of a simple non-news thing, but I really thought it was an important message to send. So that's it for this week. And I hope everybody does find a way to get away from the craziness in their own way. And again, stay sane, stay healthy, and I'll see you next week.